Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and today we continue in this great study series through the book of Ephesians, and we're delighted that you're with us. Today, we've reached the halfway point, as a matter of fact. This is session 7, and if you've missed any of the weeks so far, you can catch up or review all the sessions when you visit basicgospel.net/teaching. Every session is added to the archive, and they're there for you anytime. We hope that you'll share them with your family and tell your friends about this life-changing Ephesians series. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. But now it's time to get underway with our study today, Session 7. And to do that, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're in one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. It's Ephesians 3, verses 14 down through 21 to the end of the chapter. And it's a prayer that Paul prays. And so he's just written some incredible theology about this grace of God that saved us, what that really means, the fact that we were dead spiritually, and by grace we've been made alive together with Christ. We've seen some incredible theology that speaks to both Jew and Gentile. We have this subject called predestination, and it's a very confusing subject.
Yeah.
And every time people get into conversations with that as the subject matter, it becomes heated. It becomes a red-faced debate. And people walk away not unified, but angry at one another. And here we see it in a whole different context. It's about God predestining the fact that Jew and Gentile were going to become one in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what predestination is all about. And when you see it in that light, it becomes the most unifying of all messages. And so he gives that theology, how Jesus Christ broke down the wall of hostility, how he kills the hostility in our hearts, and brings people together who were once enemies and puts them together in a body called the church, ties them together by the Spirit, and they begin to love each other. And that's just amazing. And then he goes on and talks about this mystery that's been revealed. It was hidden in God for all of these years and centuries and et cetera. And now, as back when Paul was walking around, it was being revealed to him and the other apostles that the Gentiles were going to be fellow heirs with the Jews. So it's just amazing theology. It's just amazing to see the eternal purpose of God really being unfolded before us as we read this. And so as he gets to this, I think he just becomes undone in his spirit, just overwhelmed by this eternal purpose of God, and he says, "Hold up, we've got to take a knee, and just bow before the Father and pray, because this is such powerful stuff. This is just things that we could have never dreamed or imagined, and yet they're happening right before our eyes, and it's just a God thing. So we just need to bow." Get on our knees, bow before the Father, and say some things and ask some things so that everybody can see this eternal purpose that's been unfolded in the person of Christ Jesus. So this prayer is amazing. Now, I encourage people to take this prayer, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, and to adopt it as a personal prayer. Pray it often, pray it daily, pray it weekly, pray it monthly, but never get too far away from this prayer. Why? Because it really connects you to the eternal purpose and plan of God and allows you to see it in its fullness, in its glory, and it just overwhelms you knowing that you're a part of it, that you're a part of what God is doing in this world today. So let's dive in and take a look at what Paul says. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. So he says, for this reason. So Richard, when he says for this reason, what is he referring to? What reason? What is the reason that he's bowing his knees?
All this stuff he just said, you know, the destruction of the wall of division that Gentiles were predestined to be one, fellow heirs with Jews, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we've been saved by grace. It's like from the very beginning of the letter until now, he hadn't taken a breath.
Yeah. Yes.
And now he takes the breath.
Yes. So lots of reasons for him to take a knee and bow before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. And he's bowing before the Father. And I think the fact that he uses the word Father is very significant here. He's not using the formal name for God. He's just using the relationship name, that we are a part of God's family. We all cry out, Abba, Father, because of the Spirit that he has put in us, because of the Holy Spirit. We cry out, Abba, Father. So we are a family, this body of believers, this church of Jesus Christ is truly a family. And when we look at one another, and it doesn't matter our heritage, our ethnicity, our religious background, now we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And God is our Father. We're all joined together. And so it's significant that he's saying that he bows his knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So this new covenant life is a life that is from inside out. Mm-hmm. Religious life is from outside in. But the limitation is that it can only deal with the outside.
Yeah.
But the Spirit deals with the inside. So it's an inside-out reality. So he's praying that all of us would be strengthened with power. So this isn't something that we can ascertain intellectually, academically, observationally. We can't get this information by normal human means. We can't use our five senses to gather this and put it together and as to what God is trying to reveal to us. It takes power, supernatural power, that comes from the Spirit of God working on the inside of each of us. So Paul is praying that we're all going to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in our inner beings. Now, that's a powerful prayer right there.
Yeah.
And he's going to show us why he's asking for that as we move further down in this prayer.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, friends, and we're glad you're with us today as we continue through the study of the book of Ephesians with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and with a reminder, of course, that in addition to our Friday study sessions, we have many resources to aid your understanding of God's Word. Among them is Bob Christopher's excellent work in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, which points us to a full and abundant life as we walk daily in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and you can find it when you visit basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. But today it's session 7 in our study of Ephesians, so Bob and Richard, let's get right back to it.
Yeah, well, let's do. So we left with God praying that we're going to be strengthened with power in our inner beings by the Spirit of God, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So it's just amazing how he lays this out.
Yes.
So he's saying that we need to be strengthened with power by the Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Well, doesn't he already dwell in our hearts through faith? Isn't that part of being a Christian? If you don't have the Spirit of Christ living in you, you don't belong to him, which is what Paul said in Romans 8:9. So what exactly is he talking about here?
There's the absolute truth that the minute you become Christ's, you become saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence. None of us have a clue what that means.
Right.
It's true, but we don't understand. And that's what he's getting at here. I want you to understand. Please, God, help them understand what it means to have Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith.
Right. So I kind of envision this as us being comfortable with Christ at home in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, that our minds and everything are aligning themselves with this reality.
Yeah.
That there's a comfort factor that is happening inside of us, and that we're really getting centered in Jesus as individuals. So he's there, and we just need to get more and more comfortable. Why? Because everything, that as far as our relationships within the body of Christ, are going to be sourced by Jesus Christ himself. Mm-hmm. The reason that we can love one another is because Christ has loved us and has poured his love into our hearts. Apart from Christ being inside of us, this reality that God has brought together of Jew and Gentile becoming one would just crumble, would just fall apart. Why? Because there's no foundation for that type of relationship to be built upon. So this is all of Christ's doing, and we need to get comfortable with all of Christ's doing. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of people out there, a lot of Christians, that won't cross a line to fellowship or be in relationship with someone else, and they hide behind those lines and say, you know, God will have to deal with them somewhere else. It's like, yeah. No, wait a minute. God has called us to be one. There should be no divisions. And so we need to be comfortable with the fact that we can actually love them and enjoy incredible fellowship with people that we once we're afraid of for mm-hmm. all kinds of various reasons. And there's all kinds of various reasons
yes.
out there that put fear in us that keep us from enjoying those types of relationships. So Christ is going to move us in that direction. I always think about the Apostle Peter as he is going from Joppa up to Caesarea
yeah.
to go into the home of Cornelius. That was completely forbidden by Jewish law. And yet he was not operating under Jewish law anymore. He had a higher law that was compelling him to take that trip, to walk up those steps, to actually enter into mm-hmm. this Gentile home. That was a forbidden thing for Jewish people. Why? Because if they did, they would defile themselves. And so Peter knew that this wall of hostility had been torn down, and so he walked in. Why? Because the love of God compelled him to do so. And what did he see? What happened? He saw the Spirit of God enter into these people in exactly the same way the Spirit of God had entered into the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
So we need to be comfortable with this plan that is being carried out in Christ Jesus. And so we need to be strengthened with power in our inner being for that to really become a reality for us, that we being rooted and grounded in love. When we're at home with Jesus being at home in us, that's when we get really rooted and grounded in the love of God, because we know that Jesus is operating toward us from love. There's no other reason for him to be in relationship with us other than the fact that he loves us, and other than the fact that God the Father loves us. So we get rooted and grounded in love, and when we do, then we're able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth. And he just kind of ends there.
Just ends it there.
Yeah. And I've always looked at this as the love of God. And certainly that's a part of it in this context. But it's also the eternal purpose of God. Mm-hmm. It's also this plan of salvation from God. It's also this one new man of Jew and Gentile being one in Christ type of thing. We can see some of the surface of that and kind of understand it and be wowed by it. But God wants us to see the fullness of it. And we can only do that as we comprehend it with all the saints. It's a together thing, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And these words aren't dimensions.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, it's a three or four dimensional line. No, he is using hyperbole here in exactly the right way. In the same way he used it in Romans when he said, where sin abounded, grace superabounded. This is, imagine the biggest thing you could possibly imagine. God is infinitely more than that. And he wants to reveal that infinitely more than that to you in the context of the entire body of Christ. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Yes, it is. Well, it's basic gospel, friends, is what it is. And it's the study in Ephesians, and we are glad that you're with us for session 7 of this Friday study series here on Basic Gospel. And as I mentioned earlier, if you miss any of the sessions, you can visit our teaching archive at basicgospel.net/teaching, where you can catch up with all of the weekly sessions, basicgospel.net/teaching. But again, this is our Friday study through the book of Ephesians on Basic Gospel, and here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So in verse 19, he says this, that he wants us to be strengthened with power in our inner being by the Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, so that we can comprehend with all the saints the height and depth and length and breadth, and then to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So he doesn't want this just to be head knowledge. He wants us to have a heart knowledge and an experiential knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ. Okay? So just picture, let's go back 2,000 years ago. Let's go back to around the year 35 A.D., and we're going to see two groups of people. We're going to see the Jewish people, and we're going to see the Gentile people. And we're going to look at that, and we're going to see incredible hatred that is flowing back and forth between those two groups. And we're going to see this gospel message start to come into play. We're going to see the apostles begin to share the good news of Jesus. And we're going to see the Jews, and we're going to see the Gentiles starting to receive this. Now, a Gentile and a Jew are standing right in front of each other. And both of them have received Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And before that moment, before that transformation, before that salvation hit, they were enemies. Hatred flowed between those two people. They did everything in their power never to have any interaction. They wanted to avoid each other. And then if they did have interaction, it was not interaction based on love, even like. It was based on hatred and fear and all of those sort of things. But now they're standing in front of each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And what Paul is saying here is that I want the Gentile and I want the Jew to have the experience of loving one another. I want them to experience something that transcends their heritage, their past, all of what they once were, and to actually treat one another in a completely different way. Now, they could look at each other and they could say, you know, based on the fact that I've been born again, based on the fact that I've been saved, I ought to love this person. Mm-hmm. And they can say that, and they can agree to that intellectually. This passage isn't talking about that.
No.
It isn't saying, hey, I want you to agree intellectually with the fact that you ought to love. I want you to experience the supernatural work of God's Spirit in the very inner being of who you are. Yeah. And I want that work to bubble up inside of you in such a way you are compelled to go and embrace that person as your brother in Christ. That's what this passage is all about. And it's not a work that we can do through human effort. It takes the power of God's Spirit to connect us to the love of God, to root us, to ground us in the love of God in such a way that it overwhelms us and moves us into that experience, the actual experience of me loving a person I once hated. That's what this gospel is all about. And it is just absolutely amazing to see it in action. And what is the result of that? It says that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. When we love one another, as God in Christ has loved us, we are filled, we are controlled with all the fullness of God. Paul's going to circle back to this in the fifth chapter when he says, do not be drunk with wine, instead be filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Well, what does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? It looks like two people who were once enemies, who once hated each other, loving one another as God in Christ has loved them. That's what it looks like. So when we're filled with the Spirit, when we're filled with all the fullness of God, that's when we're actually loving one another. We've entered into this experience, this reality of God's love flowing out of us into the life of another human being. Yeah. And it's marvelous. It's just beyond words, and it's inexpressible joy.
Yeah, think about this in terms of me. I'm finite, and God, who is infinite, taking up residence inside me and my finiteness, if you will. How could I possibly contain that?
That's
and
right.
Yet he's doing that in all of the body of Christ.
Yes.
And so this isn't like a command, you'd better do this. This is a statement of reality. When the Spirit lives inside of us, we cannot contain the Spirit. He will fill us to overflowing, beyond overflowing, and all of us will be doing that at the same time with each other, overflowing with the love of God himself. And it creates relationships where no relationship ever existed before.
Absolutely.
It's God's power to create and speak things into existence.
Yes. And he concludes all this with this amazing passage, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. So these are unimaginable realities, yeah. Yet they are realities because of the work of the Spirit within us. Mm-hmm. We would have never thought these things could come about. We would have never imagined them to be true. And yet, through the working of the Spirit, they are. So then, as we have, I've lost my spot, but that's
21.
Okay.
Well, we have something.
So it says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
This
Amen
is
indeed.
All Christ from beginning to end. It is his work in and through us by his Spirit, bringing about a love that is so powerful and so real, it overwhelms.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, thank you for being with us today for our study through Ephesians. We hope you'll be with us every Friday of the series, but if you miss any of the sessions along the way, you can access them in the archive anytime at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. A quick reminder, too, that as you click donate at basicgospel.net or use any of the other means of making your gift, you're helping Basic Gospel be possible, as a matter of fact, possible on the air and online every day to proclaim the truth of God's grace. To help, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, of course, as always, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Keep in mind, too, that our listener line is always open for you. Got a question? Leave us a voicemail. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. Wishing you a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.